all others. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad you joined us. Glad you joined us once again as we discuss on the Rediscover Hour all things evangelization and even beyond. And today is no different. We have a great show for you. If you've got kids, you've got grandkids, you know of kids in the neighborhood, this show is going to be very, very important to you. And we've got some real great guests coming up. We're going to be talking about a number of things, one of which is getting your kids to heaven. And that's, I think, probably the priority in your life, is that your children would grow up and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not just know about Him, but have a relationship with Him and be equipped to live out their life here on earth in a fruitful manner, but hopefully with heaven in mind. We're going to be talking about Catholic education. We're going to be talking about your children and the formation that they receive in the very few short years that you have them at home. And when you look at how long you have your children at home, I'll tell you what, it is a vapor. It is here today, it's gone tomorrow, and they're off, and they're married, and they have their own families. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Since I spoke to you last time, dropped my daughter off at a university in Iowa. And it just seems like yesterday that we brought her home from the hospital, and now she's living in a dorm at a university, and we only talk to her, you know, by phone or Facebook or, you know, Snapchat or whatever, but the time is done. You know, we had our opportunity, and you have your opportunity right now. And we're interested really in two things as parents, aren't we? We want our kids to be successful here on earth. We want to prepare them for Harvard, but we also want to prepare them for eternity, and that's heaven. So is it Harvard or heaven, or is it both? What is it that you want for your children? But more importantly, what does God want for your children? Because you and I, as parents and as grandparents, you know what we are? We're not owners. We're stewards. We are stewards, and that means that we have been given a great asset for a period of time, which is a human life created in the image and likeness of God, and we're stewards. We are going to be accountable for what we do with our children and how we raise them. And I want to talk to you today about giving your children the edge, giving them the edge, giving them the opportunity to receive good formation, not just for here on earth, but for eternity. We have coming up on the show Jason Slattery, and Jason Slattery is the new director of Catholic Education in the Office for the Mission of Catholic Education. We also have Sister Mary Juliana Cox, and she's the principal of St. Croix Catholic School. Some of you over on the east side, over by where cheese curds are made, you know about her. And we also have today, we have Barry Liske. Barry Liske is the principal, or he is the president of De La Salle High School, the Great Islanders in downtown Minneapolis. We're going to be talking to him, so we really have a great show. You've got kids, you've got grandkids, tell everyone, tweet it out now, just tell them to tune in, because we've got three great guests who are going to tell you about Catholic education and what advantage it'll give you and your family. Wouldn't it be nice, let me just say this, wouldn't it be nice to know that you're not alone in raising your kids, that you can get some assistance? You can have someone come alongside of you that really cares about your children and wants to see them in heaven. That's what a good Catholic education is all about. So that's what we're going to learn about today on the Rediscover Hour. So don't go away. You stay with us. We got a lot for you. It's going to benefit you a whole lot. Rediscover.
It's the back-to-school in style event at Matzak's Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine. Get free stuff when you purchase any used or Chevrolet certified pre-owned vehicle.
What kind of free stuff?
A $200 Visa debit card and 2 years free maintenance with any used vehicle purchased at Vatsack Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine.
And you'll look cool in a 2015 Chevy Cruze LT starting at only $13,995.
That's a pretty cool price, and you'll get 2 years free maintenance plus a $200 debit card.
Find the Chevrolet certified pre-owned Traverse or Equinox you've been looking for, all with 2 years free maintenance and a $200 debit card.
Used cars starting at $5,995 and a great selection for less than $10,000, plus a $200 Visa debit card.
Do not buy a used car until you check out SacChevy.com, and hurry, because these deals absolutely end August 31st.
Stock numbers P1608 and 12063B.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, talking about something that could be thought of as difficult, and that's getting your kids from this world to the next world, getting them to heaven and preparing them for this world, talking about Catholic education. My first guest is the Director of Catholic Education in the Office for the Mission of Catholic Education with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and Bishop Andrew Cousins, the Vicar for Catholic Education, announced the appointment for this newly created position on June 21st. Jason Slattery comes from a long history of Catholic education with Ave Maria here in the Twin Cities, did a great job of building that school, and also locally educated. Although I think you have a master's degree from was from Dayton, Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be here with you.
So it was Dayton, Ohio.
It was the University of Dayton.
The Flyers.
That's right. The Marianists. Yep.
Wow, very good. Well, welcome to the show. I've been looking forward to talking to you because I have so much confidence in your understanding of Catholic education, your commitment to it, and your track record has been very, very good. Tell us a little bit about a little bit of your background in the Twin Cities here and how you landed in this position.
Sure, yeah. The abbreviated version really is I really discerned a call in college to serve the Lord in Catholic schools and continued to discern that call through graduate school. I got picked up by a school in the West Metro, Ave Maria Academy, to serve there, and just found a really happy home. And, some time ago, the bishop asked me to take a look at this position, and I'm just so very thankful now to be in the seat in the office for the Mission of Catholic Education.
So as the director of the Mission of Catholic Education, what's your basic responsibilities now?
Boy, I'm learning those. It's been 2 weeks. No,
we're double in a month.
It probably will. Yeah, you know more about that than me. No, the responsibilities really are to look at the life and vitality of the mission of our schools, to understand kind of the structures that we can build to improve our schools, to help them have a very happy future, and to really see how our students are being formed on a day-to-day basis in our schools.
So when you've been in education for a while now, are you seeing some changes taking place and some trends taking place in Catholic education around the country?
Yeah, I think there are some very hopeful changes going on in the church in Catholic education. There is this opportunity to really look at the question of mission, to consider how our schools really are places for students to encounter Jesus Christ in the classroom. And we're realizing ultimately the urgency of that question, the need for these places and these spaces. And so that's something that is very much a national trend and is something that Bishop Cousins has really kind of pointed to here locally as being front and center in our work with schools, is this return really to really what is our mission, what is our purpose, what is a Catholic school, how are we going to live this in a very competitive marketplace of school choice.
How would you describe, from your perspective, a Catholic high school, a Catholic education? I know that a lot of people that are not familiar with Catholic education would say, well, it's basically kind of a prep school and a good school to get you ready for college, but they also have a religion class. Is it as simple as that?
No, I don't think at all. I think there is something much deeper going on in our Catholic schools, something very beautiful in the way that they live their faith, their commitment to the Lord. And really, when you think about your decision to send a child to school, one of the questions you might have in your mind is, how does that school view my child? Do they really see the soul and the body? That is, that this is a whole person created in the image and likeness of God. how do they really then respond to that conviction that the child has a soul, that they have an eternal destiny, that God calls them to greatness? And if the answer to those questions is, well, they don't really see those things, and I really hope that folks would take a second look at what kind of school they have their child in. Mm-hmm. But in our Catholic schools, that's really our first principle. That's our starting point. That is, the child is a great gift from God given to parents, and the parents as first and primary educators of their children choose our schools really to help further that life of grace, to help the child really to recognize God's call in their life and respond to His grace. And that's just a very different culture. That's a very different starting point with a student. They're not a number. They're a name in a classroom.
That's a good point. Let me ask you a question. It might be a difficult question, but I think it's a question that needs to be asked. There's a lot of parents in the Twin Cities that have their children in Catholic grade school, junior high, and high school. And there's a lot of parents that at times get a little miffed, you know, and they think, well, I'm putting $12,000 a year in, $7,000 a year into the education, but I'm not hearing that my kids are really coming home and talking about Jesus. And in fact, in some cases, I hear that there are contrary views to what we're trying to accomplish at home. What kind of word of encouragement would you have for that part of the demographic that is saying, you know, we really wanted more and want more?
You know, that's a really excellent question, and it's an important one because ultimately it's their child, right? This is the thing that God has given them, and they have this mission really ultimately to help this child to get to heaven, as you say. And so when they encounter those questions, which often are very complex in the life of a school, mm-hmm. I would really encourage them not to despair, to remember ultimately the virtue of charity first, right? That we really need to respond to others in love and to help to lead them to the truth. But also not to sit back, that is to become more engaged in the life of the school. That can be a great gift to the school, parental commitment, volunteering, and to really in a charitable way to approach the teachers and the administration to really help as parents to ensure that those schools are really what they've signed up for. That would be a really great grace. But ultimately, the mission for Catholic education really exists to really look at five characteristics that our schools really should be living and to help to provide them the resources and the support to live those well.
What would you say those five characteristics are?
Yeah, Bishop Cousins has articulated these really beautifully. You know, we would talk about them in terms of the way that the school helps to form the whole child, the child that's not divisible in this sense. And so what we really talk about is spiritual formation, the formation of human virtue, that is character development. We talk about apostolic formation, that is how do we go out and serve our brothers and sisters? How do we help them to see others as another Christ and really to respond? We talk about the spiritual life, that is how do we really help the child to have a relationship with God, to understand how He works in their lives. And then ultimately we talk about vocational formation, that is how do we help the child really to have those ears of the faith to listen to how God might be calling them to holiness, to understand how it is that He wants them to be a saint.
We're talking with Jason Slattery. He is the new director of Catholic Education in the Office for the Mission of Catholic Education. Folks, it's a brand new position, brand new office. One of the brainchilds, or should I say heartchilds, of Bishop Cousins, who is the vicar over education. And I think this is one of the points of really good news for us in the Twin Cities. You know, we've gone through a very difficult time, and we still do. I mean, I don't know if you saw the news last night, but we are constantly going through difficult times. And, you know, Jesus talks about in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And that doesn't just always come from the outside. Sometimes it comes from the inside, you know, and that's where I think it hurts a little bit more. But some good things are happening in this archdiocese. And I want to call on you as a listener to, and as a friend and a brother and a sister, to begin to change your attitude to one of positive and the good things that are happening and get behind these good things. And education is one of them. I'm very hopeful for the schools in the Twin Cities. And Jason, you haven't been in the driver's seat for a whole long time, but enough to start thinking of where does this boat need to go? Do you have some big plans up ahead that you can begin to talk about?
Yeah, I think that those characteristics that I described, those five characteristics, that ultimately, if we can find ways to really help our school leadership, our pastors, our chaplains, our teachers, to understand those characteristics, which many of them already live. It's just a matter of putting all of this together and having a unified vision, helping them to understand those characteristics and to really live them well. if I could say anything about what the next 5 to 10 years will be dedicated to, I'd say that it's really there. It's a recovery of a clear sense of mission, a clear sense of identity, which we really need in a marketplace of school choice. We need ways to show parents ultimately what it is that they are, as you say, they're paying for, mm-hmm. and sometimes large sums of money. We really need to get to those market features. And the second area that we're starting to look at, and again, it's just been 2 weeks, but there is an area that is near and dear to the heart of the diocese, and that is, how do we reach out to our Latino brothers and sisters? How do we create access for their beautiful mm-hmm. children to come into our schools? That would be, I guess, the first kind of two areas that we're looking at in the new office.
That's beautiful. I'm looking forward to seeing that, too. And I know that the Latino community has been saying for quite some time, we'd like some love over here. You know, we need to address it. And that's true in evangelization and catechesis also. So I hear that, too. In your years as an educator, you work not only with the students, but you work with parents. You probably have noticed trends among parents, those parents that do ABC, those parents that do XYZ, and the results. What would you say some of the common denominators of successful partnership with schools are? What are some of those common denominators that makes for a winning combination for education?
Yeah, I think I'd start first with, just a shout out in some sense to the great vocation of being a parent in the modern day. Mm-hmm. This is not easy work. And I think that a first principle for a parent would be to look at the school ultimately as working in union with a family that is in cooperating in this great work of bringing up your child. And so I think it's the way that relationship really starts. This isn't one that's just transactional, it's not adversarial, it's not just customer service, but it's a great work of formation. And there are going to be some hard days. Kids are kids, right, in many respects, and original sin is alive and well everywhere. But even despite those challenges, we can overcome them when we really approach the project, and that is to help a child ultimately to grow in grace. So I'd say first is just getting involved in their schools. There are all kinds of opportunity. Modern life doesn't make that necessarily easy. But whether it's they're contributing to an annual fund in some sense, or they're coming in to volunteer to read in an early childhood classroom, or helping out around the school, that is a great grace. The child sees the parent somehow involved in the life of the school, and the parent becomes more a part of the mission, understands the mission more clearly.
You've been with parents, you've been with kids, all these years, and of course you have been here throughout the scandal that we've had in the Twin Cities, the difficult times. Last night, I was with Father Bill Baer at Transfiguration. He addressed a large group of men about how do we conduct ourselves in the middle of it. One of the harmful things that I do see, and I'd like you to address this, is when we turn on the news and we hear some difficult news there, and the kids are in the other room or they're playing down by the TV, and the parents start making comments about the archdiocese or the problems. Is there a healthy way for parents to deal with children at a young age as educators to help them through what they might be hearing?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, and I wish in some ways I had kind of the silver bullet answer. I think ultimately, that the way the parent approaches the child in that situation really is helped in some ways by their appreciation for the great difficulty of the sexual abuse scandal, the victims particularly, mm-hmm. with a heart for the victims. And that is really encouraging their children, despite these difficulties, as they're hearing about them, as they're learning about them in a variety of ways, to not feel like they're helpless in these situations. And we see this with so much of the news. How do you help a child not to feel helpless when they encounter difficulties that they themselves cannot possibly imagine? Hard enough for adults, very difficult, especially for young children. And in those cases, I think really ultimately to pray. And if this is an issue that's being talked about and it's a real issue, it's one that we have to face, to help the child really to pray for those victims of abuse, for those who have been harmed in that way. And ultimately, really to give that good parental witness of really looking to the good of the child and helping them to understand how they can help others, in this case, through prayer.
That's beautiful. A little bit later on, by the way, you're listening to the Rediscover Hour, talking with Jason Slattery. He's the Director of Catholic Education in the Office for the Mission of Catholic Education. You got to shorten the title if we're going to keep these interviews up, okay?
Talk to the bishop.
But we're going to talk with Barry Liske, who is the president of De La Salle High School, a little bit later on in the show. And Jason, one of the things he brings up is that times have changed. And years ago, you know, we had 40, 50, we had religious, and we had brothers and sisters teaching, and education was actually not that expensive, but times have changed. Your views on bringing the religious back into the teaching in Catholic schools?
Well, I mean, if I could say there was a 40-year project, it would of course be to see them return. There is it's a hard substitute the witness of religious life in the classroom. At least in early elementary, I certainly benefited from that. But when I look at the witness of a beautiful religious life in this archdiocese, it is in fact a great grace. That encounter ultimately with the joy of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. is awfully hard.
Well, speaking of that, it looks like a sister just walked in here, all the way from St. Croix Catholic School, Sister Mary Juliana Cox, and she has been with the Nashville Dominicans for quite some time now, I think since 1988.
1998.
Vows in 2005.
Yes.
Okay,
good.
I got you. I want to welcome you to the show, sister.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
It's really good to have you. Now, you're out at St. Croix Catholic School.
That's correct.
And your role?
I'm the principal.
I've been in that office a few times. Okay, I've got to change the way I'm talking here. So, it's so good to have you here. And just kind of your to start off with, some of your comments about what Jason's saying about Catholic education. I'm curious.
I think it's a very exciting time, especially in this archdiocese, for a renewal of the vocation of Catholic education. I think the effect that the new office will have on principals, I think, first and foremost, helping us to be formed well as formators in the faith, and then helping us to form our teachers who will impact countless lives mm-hmm. for years to come. So we're very grateful and very hopeful for the future of Catholic education here.
Let me ask you a question, sister. I travel some. I'm in airports, and I see sisters, Dominican sisters, all over the country. They're from Hawthorne and from Ann Arbor and from Nashville. And right away, you know, obviously, you're a sister. The habit says something. What difference do you think that habit makes in the education of mm-hmm. children and their relationship with you? And Jason, you can jump in anytime too.
I think for children and for parents to see sisters wearing the habits with that visible sign of our inward consecration, that God is real and that He's worth giving your whole life to, for parents and for children to see that, there's a confidence and a safety and a security knowing that they're in good hands, hopefully, with someone who has made a very strong commitment to the person of Jesus Christ. So that witness that Jesus is real, that He is in with a desire of having a relationship, not only with the religious, mm-hmm. But also with each child in that classroom. And I think parents have a great love for religious, has been our experience, and just a great confidence in what we bring to not only their child in terms of the faith, but also in excellence in academics as well.
How many Dominican sisters do we have in the Archdiocese now?
There are four of us, a four mighty white army. So we certainly hope that there can be more one day. But we're grateful for being able to be present within this archdiocese.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, you know, in the public square, and I would throw it out to both of you. There are many who hold views out there. All you got to do is turn on the news. Views that are contrary to Catholicism. What are some of these views, and how do you address them? Are there some major views that you constantly have to rub up against?
That's a great question. I think we know them well, right? Contraception, abortion, LGBT lifestyle. Some of these aspects of life that are pretty common today, I think, that are just difficult when dealing with the desire to really form the souls and the consciences of our children. I guess the best example that I could give of how we address that within the school setting would be during a previous election, the history and the religion teacher partnered together in an integrated way to be able to provide the middle school students with a very clear understanding of the church's teachings on each of the platforms that were being raised. And some of those platforms may have been contrary to Catholic Church teaching. So just really being sure that the children, if they are going to be a faithful citizen in this world, to be sure that they understand that they have an obligation and responsibility to vote with a informed conscience, and to know where, what are those sources for informing their conscience. Certainly not the media. We've learned that well. But
except this show.
Thank you very much. Yes. So to be able to know which aspects, certainly the Catechism of the Catholic Church, to be able to go to that as a resource. And I think when that has been used, especially in that example, during the election, the students were shown a paragraph in the Catechism that was able, they were able to understand more fully the church's teaching as one of mercy and compassion, contrary to what they experienced maybe in
we just TV. Have a couple minutes left, but I want to ask you, there, we talk about the age of innocence, and are there, is there a certain age or grade where kids begin to lose that and we have to protect it? And a lot of parents don't know exactly when that is because the social media and so forth is changing things. Either of you?
I think I sadly would say that it seems to be getting younger. And because of social media, there are many more resources out there for children to, and the devices have become more personal, so individual. And my fear is that parents aren't as vigilant, perhaps, as necessary to be able to check those and to help monitor those for their children.
And what would both of you say about parents right now that are listening and saying, you know, we've never had our kids in Catholic school before, but we would like to learn more. What should we be thinking about? What should we consider? Where should we go?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I would really encourage them to talk to their pastors to understand where the local Catholic options are in proximity to where they live. Mm-hmm. Usually people want to go to school near where they live. And then to really take some time and meet with the principal, go on a tour, get a sense of the school. But I would really extend that to everyone listening. That is, if you've got a grandchild or a godchild, a neighbor even, this is really a time for us to go out and to invite others in. And so so please take that time, learn where your Catholic school is, learn you know, what's really good about it, and then take some time to invite others to this opportunity.
And how can we pray for the two of you? Jason, you're the director of a big department now. How can we pray for you? Sister, you're over at St. Croix Catholic School, a principal. How can we pray for you, all of us listening?
I would really say, you know, entrust the work of the office and the Catholic schools of the Archdiocese to St. Thomas Aquinas, the patron saint of Catholic education, and to pray most especially for my boss, at least, Bishop Andrew Cousins. He's really the golden light on this question, and we really need him to persevere. So that's what I'd say, and we'd really thank you for your prayers.
Okay. Sister?
Yeah, we are grateful for the prayers of especially the children for each of us, and I think praying that we will be open to how God desires to use us as weak instruments in the work that he's given us of forming souls for heaven.
Well, you know, Sister, I got to tell you, the Dominican sisters have played a big role in our family. We've been friends with Sister Mary Catherine.
Catherine Murray.
It's one of the two. It's always, you know, it's not Susan or anything else. It's these biblical names that I get confused with. But we've had such a wonderful history with the Dominicans. In fact, we named one of our cats Dominic. But then we ended up with a grandson, and we have a grandson now by the name of Dominic. So we're just keeping it in the family. We appreciate all that you have done in all the various branches of the Dominicans around the country.
Thank you.
And Jason, it's good to be your friend. We've been friends for a long time. And blessings on all the work that you're doing here in the Archdiocese. Friends, I want to encourage you to pray for both of them. Great things are happening in this archdiocese, and we got more to talk about after the break. We come back with Barry Slattery. It's his brother. No, it's Barry Liske, and he is the president of De La Salle High School. We're going to talk about how Brother Michael had a big influence on that school and what influenced the current president, Barry Liske. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We got so much more for you. God bless.
Rediscover.
Father John Paul Erickson here with a Family Meeting Minute. What is the family? Let's face it, it can be a place of frustration, disappointment, and even hurt. But the family is also a singular place of hope, refreshment, and life. It is the family that serves as the first school of living, the place where the lessons of love and affection are learned for a lifetime. Indeed, it is within the family that we learn how to be human, creatures made in the image and likeness of a God who is a communion of life-giving love. Love is the mission of the family, demanding, thrilling, life-giving love. And it is here that it finds its identity and its dignity. Let us, with our beloved Holy Father, Pope Francis, pray and work earnestly for the renewal of family life, so that it may become the source of a new world where all are called brothers and sisters in the one family of the Father of all.
This Family Meeting Minute is sponsored by the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. If you'd like to attend the World Meeting of Families and see Pope Francis during his visit to the United States, go to the Archdiocesan website at archspm.org.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. We are here at De La Salle High School in Minneapolis, the first Catholic high school in Minneapolis, and this is the first week back to school. So it's very busy, kids getting situated, getting those notebooks out, the pens ready, and school is going to begin. Mom and Dad taking a big, deep breath as the summer is over. I'm with Barry Liske. He is the president of De La Salle High School and going on his fourth year, over 35 years of education. And Barry, it's good to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Well, we're here at De La Salle High School, and of course, there's a great tradition here at De La Salle as one of the great Catholic high schools. And just the name itself, De La Salle. For those that are not familiar with a LaSallian education, what's unique about De La Salle and a LaSallian education?
Well, De La Salle takes its name from our founder and the patron saint of all teachers, St. John Baptiste De La Salle. He's a French priest who started the Order of the Christian Brothers. Some of you are more familiar with that term. But the Christian Brothers, for over 350 years, have provided quality Catholic education to young people, especially the poor, throughout the world.
And of course, you have a tremendous sports program here. You have a tremendous alumni, and we want to talk a little bit more about that. I know that many of our listeners were familiar with Brother Michael, and Brother Michael had a big influence on the school here. I'm curious, what's your thoughts about how important is leadership, not only at the president's level of a Catholic high school, but even the teachers? How important is that?
Well, it's significant, obviously, and in changing times, leadership is even more important. Sometimes schools get in the routine of revolving leadership, and the vision and the mission of the school is recreated and reinvented over and over again, and that's not always good. Sometimes it's important to stay true to the charism of the school, the important virtues that make the school unique and different. With respect to Brother Michael, a closer friend I never had. Brother Michael and I worked shoulder to shoulder for 19 years together. He was the president and I was the principal. A day in and day out basis, we consulted about every dimension of the school. He was not only a good leader, who came back at a time when De La Salle could have easily closed. Catholic education in the urban core of the city had experienced great strife in the sense that the urban poor were having a harder and harder time affording Catholic education. And De La Salle being in the center of the city and many families moving to the suburbs and wanting Catholic schools in their neighborhoods, De La Salle went from 1,600 in the mid-60s to less than 300 a decade later, so that was quite a change. Brother Michael came in at the heels of that, himself a graduate of 1955 from De La Salle. His lifelong dream was always to come back to his home school and leave an imprint, which he certainly did. He was the longest standing chief executive officer of the school in our school's history. You can easily say that not only did he have passion, but he practiced and he was persistent with his vision for the school. That persistence paid off. Over time, we watched not only our enrollment go up, more than doubling in his tenure, but also we watched the support, the Catholic identity, the grounding in relationships, the sense of every teacher, every employee of De La Salle being part of a vocation, something much larger than a job. Mm-hmm. People felt like they belonged. When he tapped you on the shoulder, people listened, and he certainly had that impact on me. He was inspirational to not only faculty and staff and administrators, but he was endeared by the students as well.
Well, I remember that state championship basketball game that was in honor of Brother Michael. And when they won at the last second, the place erupted. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the place. And I think a lot of those tears were for Brother Michael and the great thanks and gratefulness for him. You know, when we talk about Catholic education and parents sending their kids to school, one of the things that parents have to combat today is our culture and the ever-changing things in culture that are going on. I'm thinking about social media, the way kids communicate. You've been in education now for over 35 years. What have you seen change in society that has affected Catholic education, if any?
Well, that's a great question. I would like to start by saying the constant in education is change. And when I look at our LaSallian tradition, one of our founding principles was that not only would the education that we provided be grounded in our faith and sense of community, but that it was always going to be relevant. LaSallian schools around the world are relevant to the culture and the setting of their students. For example, we have a twin school in Kenya, Africa, who is very much a LaSallian school, but their education is more in the practical matters of careers. Mm-hmm. In the United States, the compulsory education expectation for young people has created an atmosphere of almost a sense of detention. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the cultural things that we need to be relevant in our response to. What do young people, how do they enter into the experience of going to school? And so true to our faith, we try to make sure that, and not only try, we are making sure that every student understands that what we do is relevant to their times. Social media is another great example that you mentioned of something that's changed. Life is experienced in 1-minute sound bites. Students can express the momentary thought and feeling that they're having at any time 24/7. Okay. And we're finding that they're willing to do that.
I find that one of the things that's interesting about your story, Barry, is that you weren't always Catholic, you know, and that you're a convert to the Catholic faith, and in good measure due to the LaSallian influence. Is that true?
Very true. I've always had an admiration for the traditions and the certainty of Catholic faith, but I was raised Protestant. It wasn't until I worked in a Catholic school for a few years as a coach and athletic director and guidance counselor that, and candidly worked closely with Brother Michael, that I started to understand that the beauty of the Catholic faith is in that sense of communion, that we are all in relationship with our God, but also in relationship with one another, and it's our God that brings us together through our Eucharist, through the beauty of sense of community, and the sense that we are all driven towards our relationship, not only with one another, but with our God.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, if parents are interested in their children going to a Catholic school, a Catholic high school like De La Salle, and let's say they come in and they sit down and they talk to you or one of the counselors, and they say, you know, Barry, we're thinking about sending our kids to the Catholic school. They've been in a public school all these years. What are they going to learn about the faith that's really going to make the difference and it's going to make it worth our while to put money towards their education here or any Catholic high school?
Well, first and foremost, they're going to know that they're always in God's presence and that everything that we do in a Catholic school is to have Jesus live in their hearts. It's that personal relationship with God that we introduce our students to, that we model for our students. It's that sense of unity. Our scripture theme for this year is unity, so that's on the top of my mind, how good it is when God's people live in unity. Those are messages of faith that resonate with young people. Many times young people's natural development is to resist and to break away from mom and dad. At some point, every individual has to do that, and that can be some cases very easy, and some cases they deflect and resist every notion, including family's faith. And so schools can be a safe ground for them to rediscover their own faith, to find that, you know, that their faith isn't something that they inherited from their parents or grandparents or their family, but it's something that they're invited personally to themselves. So over 3,500 times, because we begin every class with prayer, we begin every assembly with prayer, over 3,500 times, those students are reminded that they are in God's holy presence. Mm-hmm. They're reminded and called and asked Jesus to live in their hearts. Those are beautiful traditions in our LaSallian schools. They're beautiful traditions in our Catholic schools. And I think it's really essential that young people take that journey with the adults that are influential in their lives. They know that adults care for them. So when we get back to what does it mean to be in a Catholic school, we're going to be a school that understands that everything we do is girded by our faith. And that it's that rigor and relevance and sense of community that are the tenets of everything we do.
And this isn't something that just you believe, but something that's passed on to the entire administration.
Exactly. We had our orientation week with staff this week, and we had an opportunity for me to remind people, not only here is our scripture theme for this year, but here are the tenets that make us special. Mm-hmm. We bring our new teachers in, we hire for mission, we hire teachers that we know are going to be supportive of that sense of prayer, mm-hmm. that sense of being in the presence of God all the time, mm-hmm. and open to the reality that young people are starving for this joy and affection in their lives, and that is going to be, that's going to happen not so much with the adults in their lives, but through adults to God. God is the one that will provide them with that joy and satisfaction.
Amen to that. You know that there's a lot of parents that would love to send their kids to a Catholic high school like De La Salle. Two things that I'd like you to address. One is the kid is leaving 7th and 8th grade, he's made friends, he's involved in sports, and the parents are talking now about going to a Catholic high school, and there might be a resistance there. Any advice for parents? And the second is along those lines, and what if families are really struggling financially, but their heart says, we really want our kids to have a Catholic education?
Well, I'll start with the second question first, and then circle back to the first. The second one is about the hard reality that schools are no longer funded by the generosity and the service of vowed men and women who commit their lives to education and take little or no pay throughout their entire career. So that was a very difficult transition for the Catholic schools in the United States, is when the number of teachers that were working for little or no pay started to decline, and lay people were paid living wages, the cost of Catholic education skyrocketed. I often talk to alums who share that the tuition was $250 when they went to De La Salle, but that $250 tuition was underwritten by 75 Christian Brothers who took no pay, mm-hmm. or the proceeds from the bookstore when they worked here. So today we need our our alums, our friends, to be Christian brothers for today. And that's the message I share. We're very fortunate to have successful development office and fundraising, and people who are not only interested in the important mission of our school, but they want to invest in the future of that mission. They see the importance of Catholic education and young people having a ground and having a moral compass, mm-hmm. a sense and a drive for a virtuous life. Those aren't things that happen on their own. They have to be instilled mm-hmm. in young people, and parents and schools partner to make that happen for young people. So we take that seriously, but the financial reality is that we have to raise some money. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of the fact that of our 760 students, half of them get some financial aid. In fact, some of them are living at poverty lines. One third of our student body, 3 out of 10, live at a poverty line, are eligible for free and reduced lunch. Mm-hmm. They, according to the financial aid needs analysis, they can afford to pay nothing for high school. And yet we provide thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. More than two-thirds of their tuition towards for reduction in pay. So access is, again, back to, you talked about Brother Michael, that's probably the one point, and it was his last comment to me. Barry, we have to ensure the access of the poor to De La Salle.
Beautiful, beautiful legacy. With parents that have a difficult time selling this to their kids, any quick advice for them?
Well, I think it's important for parents to come and shop. Mm-hmm. Bring their children down. Don't just tell them they're going to a Catholic high school. Take them to a Catholic high school. Allow them to take a day to shadow, mm-hmm. to visit, to spend some time with students. De La Salle is a unique Catholic high school in many respects because of its unique mix of students. We draw from all over the Twin Cities. We're a school of destination. People drive past multiple other high schools to get to De La Salle. And I would attribute that success, our success. We're at the enrollment number that we want to be at. We don't want to be a school of 1,600 like we were in the 60s. We want to be a school where everybody is known and everybody feels comfortable knowing the other people that are here. That sense of unity and community that happens as a result of that is beautiful. But as a school of destination, my advice to parents is shop. Sure. Go visit, spend a day, get to know, ask those tough questions. Schools who are very adept at sharing, here's the culture that we create, here's where students come from. The best salespeople of a school should and always will be, I think, the students that are there.
And if parents are interested in sending their kids to a Catholic high school, are there special days throughout the year or special events that they can find out more about the school or an open house?
Yeah, I think every Catholic high school does a remarkable job of having open houses, making sure that the community can come in and learn about what's happening. They can also stop in and do a personal visit, mm-hmm. spend a day, and that's something that I think has become in the last decade very popular. Very few of our incoming ninth graders this year did not shadow or spend some time on campus, because it is when that unique partnership between mom and dad engages the student themselves that beautiful things happen. Students start to see this as, I own some of this. This is my choice. It's part of growing up.
That's a good thought.
And so when they feel they feel part of that, you know, amazing things happen. It's a great partnership.
Well, Barry, it's good talking to you. I know that you have quite a leadership role here at the school. Not only that, but you're in contact with thousands of alumni all over the world who have benefited from a LaSallian education. They're out there changing the world, making a difference today. This is the first week of classes. Things are up and running. How can we pray for you, and how can we pray for all those at De La Salle and the Catholic high schools around the Twin Cities?
Well, one of the things that I think every high school struggles with is the finance. So pray for those who will be today's Christian brothers, will be those benefactors to support the important work that we do. I would ask that for your prayers and your listeners' prayers to keep ourselves centered on our faith, that we are mindful that every student needs a champion. Every young person needs somebody to cheer for them in their corner, and that those sometimes unintentional interactions in the hallway or in class or on the athletic field, mm-hmm. those sometimes unintentional interactions are what create that belief in young people that somebody cares, somebody loves outside their family, somebody else cares about them. And it's a powerful experience when you watch somebody want to get to know you, wants to get to know and use you as a model for their life,
sure.
to find Christ in their lives, to find a sense of vocation, that what I do makes a difference for others around me.
That's beautiful.
People, pray for that. Pray for those relationships, those things that happen mm-hmm. in the class, in the hallways, on fields. On the stage.
I appreciate that. And Barry, thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour today. It's been good talking to you, and you become a friend. And folks listening, I encourage you, two things. One is, if you're thinking about a Catholic education for your kids, do what Barry said. Go to one of the schools that may be around you, or if it's De La Salle, which is a destination school, a really wonderful school, make an appointment and find out more about it. Start talking to your kids about the value of a Catholic education and what it means in terms of their formation and in terms of their future. But also, I invite you to do what Barry just asked. Pray for the schools. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the presidents and the principals. And pray for the alumni, that God would raise up young disciples that would be a part of changing the world. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we're going to be back right after this. Rediscover.
I'm Ed with Modern Roadways. Recently, a prospective customer told me that we had an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I was more impressed than he was, but wondered why. My conclusion, our blacktop patching. We do what we call skin patching. First, we clean the area and apply a tack coat so that the new will hold to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability, and only jackhammer and excavate where it is completely necessary. Skin patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so we can cover three times as much area for the same cost, getting all present potholes as well as areas that will be in potholes in 3 or 4 months. Now, the rest of the story. A $100 discount to any customer who gives us the go-ahead on an estimate of $1,000 or more and identifies himself as a Relevant Radio listener. Free estimates, Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. Well, what a great show today, talking about the great educational opportunities for you as parents and grandparents. That's not all that's happening in the Twin Cities. Paul, we got so much more.
Just a plethora of things. Everyone is welcome to St. Henry's Parish Festival in Monticello this weekend, August 29th and 30th. Enjoy an amazing turkey dinner, traditional Irish folk music, chili contest, kids games, and more. You'll find fun for the whole family. Go online for details. St. Henry Catholic.info. That's St. Henry Catholic Info.
Don't miss the final organ concert of the cathedral's centennial year. Virtuoso organist and Minnesota native Samuel Backman will perform a free concert at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, September 10th at the Cathedral of St. Paul. In this special performance, audience members will be able to watch the organist play while he uses the new movable console on the main floor of the cathedral. More online at cathedralheritagefoundation.org.
The annual Mass for Persons with Disabilities is Sunday, September 13th, 3 p.m. in St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary. The special event begins with a sing-along at 2:30. Bishop Andrew Cousins will celebrate Mass and confer the Sacrament of Confirmation. All are invited. For more information, contact Deacon Sean and Joan Curtin, 651-291-4543, or go to events at archspm.org.
Knights of Columbus from Epiphany Catholic Church will host a spaghetti dinner for vocations. That's Saturday, September 19th at the Epiphany Cafeteria, 1100 Hanson Boulevard in Coon Rapids. Dinner will be served from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. with takeout and gluten-free options. Backed by popular demand, the singing seminarians from St. John Vianney College Seminary, Nancy Mathewson, has more information. Here's her number, 763-754-2892.
Save the date. TLC Options for Women invites you to the Generations for Life Banquet, Saturday, September 26th at the Hilton Mall of America Hotel in Bloomington. Featured speaker Gail McWilliams. She will share her gripping story of hope in the midst of a devastating personal crisis. Don't miss this unforgettable evening. For more information, contact Christy, 651-291-9473, or go to tlcoptions.org.
Hey, men, mark your calendars. On Saturday, October 10th, the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis, along with Catholic Man Night, invite you to join Bishop Andrew Cousins in the Holy Pilgrimage to honor Our Blessed Mother at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse, Wisconsin. The cost is $70 and includes transportation, lunch and dinner, and all programming. For more information, look under Events on the archspm.org website and or Rediscover Faith website, or you can call Susanna at 651-291-4411.
And let's take a look at what's coming up next week.
Next week, Paul, on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with a number of great guests about the topic of battling cancer. Rhonda Zwaber and Jeff and Paige Schaefer will join us. Rhonda was diagnosed with breast cancer. At that point, her faith began to grow, and she created the Pink Prayer Warriors. It's a ministry at her church that helps support and pray for those struggling with cancer. We're also going to talk about the Paige Schaefer and her father, Jeff. That family has struggled with cancer. We're going to learn a lot about cancer and how to deal with it. And that's all coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. So if you know of anybody who has been touched by cancer in any way, it'll be a point of victory next time.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.